Hi, this is Allison Sheridan from the NoSillaCast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com. And today is Saturday, October 8th, 2005, and this is show number 11. Well, I could not be more excited. I'm just so thrilled. I sent a little voicemail over to Adam Christensen of the MacCast, and he happened to have actually played my little voicemail. And of course, I managed to sneak in my a little plug for my show here. And all of a sudden, my visitor count has really taken off. I am now internationally famous. I have 127 unique visitors as of this instant in time, which I know for a real show it would be thousands and tens of thousands, millions of listeners. But for my little show, I'm pretty excited about it. Right now, users average about 1.78 visits per user. My goal is not necessarily to make the unique visitor count go up, but to make the visits per user go up, because that means you're getting value out of this and you're finding some fun and enjoying the show. So I said I was internationally famous. One of the cool things about VisiWeb, where I have my podcast hosted, where podfeet.com lives, is they have all these really cool metrics that they pull. VisiWeb uses a lot of different open source tools, and they give you different choices within each category. One of the ones I'm using right now that's kind of fun is called AWStats, or AWStats, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. But anyway, in there they give you all these really cool metrics, one of which is unique visitors and visits per user, but it also shows you the countries that people have come from, that where your visitors are. So I have a lot of United States customers, as you might consider, since I'm from the U.S., but I also have Australia, Canada, the European Union, Japan, Britain, Poland, and Germany. I think that's really cool. That's just amazing to think that somebody's listening, or at least hit the website from out of the country. I suppose I shouldn't be that excited about it, but it's big in my little world. Another cool metric that they can show you on the VisiWeb is they give you the operating systems. So I'm right now 79% Macintosh, 17% Windows, 4% unknown, which I suspect might be Linux, but I'm kind of surprised it didn't recognize that, and 0.5% Solaris. I suspect this very well might be my friend John Klingon, but I'm not sure. I got to check with him. The high percent of Macintosh users isn't really surprising, since I hosted on, I talked to Adam Christensen of the MacCast, but anyway, it's still fun to see some Windows users, and hope to see lots of users no matter where you come from. It'll also tell me what browsers people are using. 68% are using Safari, 11% Firefox, only 9% Internet Explorer, which shows the vast audience intelligence that we have on the NoSillaCast. Now, one thing I found really interesting, under the browsers it lists how many people are coming from iTunes, and only about 5% are coming from iTunes, and 3% are coming from unknown. So let's say that the unknowns are pod-catching clients like iPod or X or something like that, and 5% iTunes, so 8% total. That means that very few people are actually listening to the NoSillaCast using true podcasting. They're listening, most of you guys are just listening to the MP3 files directly off the internet. And I think that's interesting, because to me, the whole concept of podcasting is so cool, because I don't have to remember to go out to somebody's website and look and see if they've posted anything, and check day after day after day to see if anything is new. Especially with somebody like me, where I only post once a week, maybe twice a week if it's a really exciting week. So I'm kind of curious why people aren't using it as a podcast and they're just listening on the internet. So if you're one of the browser-based users who like to get it that way, shoot me an email at allison@podfeet.com and let me know why you do it that way. Is it because podcatching is too confusing, it's too hard to use, you didn't know you could get it that way, you don't like the whole podcasting thing, the podcatcher being in control of when you get your content? Let me know. I'm real curious. Or maybe the metrics are all wrong. That's also possible. Well, I did some work on podfeet.com yesterday. I've added some enhancements there. I went ahead and put a tab in of my favorite freeware and shareware. I did do a podcast on that, but then I realized I kind of have ADD, or maybe I'm a little bit like the what do you call the raccoon that finds a new shiny toy, and I play with that until I'm bored, and then I pick up another one. So I would expect to see the freeware shareware button have new content fairly frequently, because I find new cool things and I get all excited, and then once I learn how to use them, I move on and do something else, unless they're of you know real true utility to me on a regular basis. So I think that section might have some might be fun to check back once in a while and see what's going on there. I also put in a section on podcast tools, and I don't think this will probably vary too much unless I find a cool new shareware thing. But it kind of just tells you what kind of tools I use to do the recording different tools that I'm using to put it up on the web, that sort of thing. So that's probably not terribly interesting to go back regularly, but you never know. If you see a new freeware, shareware tool show up that has to do with podcasting and recording, then of course it'll change in there. I also plan to add a gadget page, and this is another case of where I'm like the raccoon there with the shiny toy. I just love to get a new gadget. Nothing makes me happier than walking into a staff meeting and saying, look what I got now. Like I just picked up a Seagate 5 GB 4200 RPM drive that's a little bit smaller than a hockey puck and weighs maybe half as much. It's a little USB drive, and it's really, really cool. So I'm going to start putting links on whatever my coolest favorite gadgets are. Cameras, headphones, mice, PDAs, iPods, whatever catches my latest fancy. I think that might be kind of a fun section. Haven't done it yet, though. So I've been looking at other people's websites, and I think what a lot of people use for doing their podcast show notes and stuff is they use weblog tools. And this seems kind of funny, but I sort of skipped over the whole text blog sort of thing. I was a big internet user, email, chat, that sort of thing, and then jumped straight to podcasting, and I never stopped over and got into reading weblogs. I'll occasionally use the screensaver on the Mac that has, on OS X, they have a screensaver that will look at RSS for a specific weblog, and the one it's set defaulted to is /dot, which is fun to read, so I'll occasionally pick that one up, but I don't really get it. I don't get what's fun about sitting and reading. I don't have the attention span, back to my having ADD and all. So anyway, I don't quite get the weblog thing and how it works, but VisWeb, again, has all kinds of shareware and freeware open source tools built into it. So I checked into, there's a thing called Fantastico, which has a bunch of different tools wrapped into it, and one of them is WordPress. And WordPress was recommended by the book I'm reading on podcasting. I'll talk about that book later. That's kind of a fun story too. I think I kind of get it. I get how to make new posts, and I could put my show notes there and type things in, and it lets you type in little text and format and all that kind of stuff. But I haven't figured out how to get those sections to link to my MP3s yet, so I don't really know what I'm doing. But it's really fun to learn a new tool, and so I'm having fun with that. One thing you'll learn about me is that I just really like a new software tool. I'm not real big into hardware, into cannibalizing machines and putting in new graphics cards and all that kind of stuff. But man, you show me a new shiny tool and I'll something freeware, shareware kind of price range, I'll just try anything. You might have heard me say before, my buddy Niraj is famous for just catching me on iChat and throwing a link into an iChat window, and he won't ever tell me what it is, but he knows I'll bite. I'll just poke into that and go, what is that? I gotta have that, and I download all kinds of junk, which is one of the reasons I had to reformat my drive recently, because it was just getting really hinky after about a year of downloading 1 to 2 pieces of software a week. So anyway, stay tuned to see if you use some improvements in the design of the site as a result of that. I might not be smart enough to change their formats into my formats of the way I have it look, so it might turn from purple to green. I'm working with a green one right now, and I don't know how to change it to purple, and I don't know how to change it to look like my logo and stuff, so I'm still learning. It looks like it's written in PHP, and since I don't know anything about PHP, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Well, I need to tell you all that I am the best mom ever. My son Kyle is 14 years old, and he has a friend named Chris. And Chris and Kyle, being 14-year-old boys, really like to burn things. So a couple of years ago, I let him burn a little cloth dragon, a little toy that they had, and that was pretty cool because it had little plastic beans inside of it, little beanbag sort of thing, and that was neat when they all poured out. But they didn't catch on fire, so that wasn't that good. Then last year, at the end of his Spanish class, which he detested, he decided that he needed to burn his Spanish notebook, and that was a pretty popular item just for the venom factor, you know, burning that awful class. But last night, we burned something really important to us. Many, many years ago, my friend Diane and Bill, our friends Diane and Bill, gave us a rocket called Broadsword. And it was a huge rocket, stood about 2 feet tall, 2.5 feet tall, and it went on many, many successful flights. And we really enjoyed it, but for the past couple of years, it's been retired because it broke a fin and it got kind of damaged in its last flight. So we decided to give it a hero's funeral last night. So Broadsword was caught on fire. If you don't believe me, you can go to my other website, which is homepage.mac.com/asheridan/videos, and or just click on the video button, and you can go in and see the pictures of the video of the burning broadsword. It's pretty fun to watch. There's a bunch of good pictures of it, too, but I'm the best mom ever because I let my kids burn stuff. Anyway, we did have a fire extinguisher there because safety first. And it is, of course, Fire Safety Month. The film that you can see in there, I have a Konica Minolta Z3 digital camera, and it takes really nice little videos. In fact, I had to compress it quite a bit to get it on the web because the videos are actually pretty big. So I used iMovie to compress it, which was kind of a tedious way to do it. I used QuickTime. But then with QuickTime 7, they took away my ownership of the tool, and I'm kind of cranky about having to drop another $40 just to do that. So I used iMovie, but it was tedious because it took 11 minutes for it to pull the little movie into iMovie just so that I could press compress and spit it back out of iMovie, which took another 3 minutes. So not doing anything tricky, not adding scenes, not doing any clipping, cutting, or anything, it was a 15-minute process, where that would have been, you know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes in QuickTime. I don't know. Maybe I'll still buy it. I think Niraj sent me a list of QuickTime equivalents that I could try, so maybe I'll go test one of those. So let's see. Y'all know in OS X has the dashboard, which has widgets that you can bring up with a press of a button. You can look. You can have clocks and calculators and system statistics. There's a version tracker widget, calendars. Oh, IMDb. I'm just looking at all the ones I have. See, I have a countdown till I can retire, 2,751 days, by the way. You can search Amazon. You can search the Yellow Pages. You can bring up a terminal window. Let's see, airline flights. What else do I have on here? A thesaurus, all kinds of stuff. iCal events, the address book. Anyway, all of these widgets are pretty cool, and there's all different ones you can download from the web. But the whole idea of widgets originally came from a tool called Confabulator. It came out years and years ago, and it's been going on for a very long time. And people are actually pretty pleased with it. And it turns out those guys ended up selling to Yahoo. And the really fun part is Confabulator is now free. That's Konfabulator, by the way. And so now you can get it for free. And Leo Laporte was chatting about it on his podcast. So I decided to go out and give it a little whirl. It's interesting in the way it does a lot of the same things that the dashboard widgets do, but it's actually got a lot more flexibility. You can download all kinds of widgets. There's a huge widget gallery. Just tons and tons of them have been built. But what's cool is you can bring up individual widgets can have individual behavior. So, like, I have a clock that I have sitting on top of all my windows because I want to always be able to see what time is it and what the date is. That's one of my pet peeves is the Mac OS X doesn't let me just see the date. And I've got no attention span whatsoever to remember it from when I sign one document till I sign the next one. I can never remember the date. So I like having it up on top. But then it's got some other things like the weather, for example. Well, I don't need to see the weather on top. I'll bring that up when I want to see it. And there's a keystroke. I think it's F8 brings all of the widgets from Confabulator up to the foreground. But you don't have to be seeing that one all the time. You can say, okay, I want that in the background. Or I want it hooked to the desktop. Or you can have it floating. There's all kinds of nice little features to it. Anyway, it's kind of a neat thing to give a try, and since it's free now, there's no risk, and it lives in perfect harmony with dashboard, so I'm actually keeping them both going and going to see which one I like better. Let's see, I'm still looking for a good free FTP client. So if anybody knows one that they like, I'm using CyberDuck right now. But it's got some hinky problems with it. Like, it doesn't refresh properly. Sometimes after I upload things, it can't see them, so I don't know if it did it right or it dropped them into the wrong folder or something like that. And it's kind of irritating. It's getting on my nerves. I do like the way it has a nice bookmark feature, so I can just double-click on the bookmark and it automatically opens up the link to my to podfeet.com. So that's kind of nice. But the way it does folders is irritating. Like, if I drag a file onto a folder, like, I'm just passing over the folder opens so quickly that I accidentally drop things inside folders when I don't really want to do it. I want to put it, like, right above the folder. But these folders are always flipping open, and they don't flip closed again after you accidentally open them. So that's kind of irritating. So I've been looking for a free FTP client that gets any kind of good reviews. I've seen a couple, like, I think there's one called FTP Thingy that sounded fun, but then I looked at the reviews, and I think it was getting 2 stars out of 5 on Version Tracker, so that didn't sound so good. So if anybody knows a good free FTP client, I'd appreciate it if you drop me a line at allison@podfeet.com, and I'll give that a whirl. So, you know, if you don't, I'm going to have to learn how to use the command line, and I'm just not good at that. I could try, and I probably will, but don't make me do that. So I was thinking it might be fun to do a movie review once a week, since every Friday night my buddy Ron comes over, and Ron and Steve and I, and sometimes Kyle joins us, we sit down and watch a movie. Ron, of course, was at a Bengals concert last night, so he blew us off, so we rented Aviator. It's the story of the life of Howard Hughes. Now, this might not be for everybody, but since I worked for Hughes in 1978 and on forward from that time, it was kind of neat to see the story, and I've read a couple of biographies of Howard Hughes. There's one simply called Hughes that's really, really, really good. And this one pretty much followed the story of the book, the story of his life, and it got into his womanizing and what a really brilliant man he was, even though he was a freaking nutball at the end. Actually, shockingly, he was a freaking nutball for many, many years. That was something that really surprised me. I enjoyed the movie a lot. A lot of people said it was just too long, but maybe it's because I'm captivated by the subject that it was really interesting to me. One of the reasons I became kind of entranced with Howard Hughes was the flying boat itself. Back in, it had been like in the early 80s, I was at work one day, and a guy named Dave Grant worked in my department, and he was a hydraulics engineer. And he walked in one day, and he said, "Hey, guys, today's the last day I can take you into the flying boat because it's about to leave. They're about to sell it to the Rather Corporation." And I didn't know what he was even talking about. I didn't know that he had anything to do with it. But it turned out he was the guy that designed all the hydraulics on the boat itself. And get this, he was the guy that was the pilot, co-pilot on the flight. And I said to Dave, I said, "Geez, Dave, I didn't know you had your pilot's license." And he said, "I don't. That's why Howard let me sit in that chair, because he didn't want anyone who knew what they were doing to take control from him, because he wasn't supposed to take off that day. He was not cleared to fly. But he just decided, he had this determination, decided it was time to take the boat up, and he did." So it was really cool. Dave said, "Hey, let's all go down and see the boat." So I called Steve, and the only time in my entire life I've ever played hooky from work or school, Dave and a bunch of people and Steve and I went down and got to crawl all over the Hughes flying boat. It was an absolutely amazing experience. I got to sit in Howard Hughes' chair and play with the controls. It was completely uncontrolled. You know, there weren't any little red ropes saying don't touch this or don't walk there. We got to climb up into the tail. We got to walk out into the wings. And this thing, I don't know if you realize how huge it was, or is actually. It's, the wingspan was something like 321 feet across. It is the largest aircraft ever built. And the thing, you could have played basketball inside these wings. It was truly an amazing experience. When we first walked into the room, we were all dead silent at the absolute immenseness of this plane. It was really cool. So anyway, I really enjoyed the movie Aviator because it brought back a lot of memories and showed some of the brilliance of him. There's a great scene. The president of Pan Am is trying to take over TWA from Howard Hughes. Hughes owned TWA at the time. And so the president of Pan Am had coerced the congressman from Maine, played by Alan Alda, to put in a bill that was actually going to end up ruining TWA and giving the entire international flight business all to Pan Am. And so they were blackmailing Howard Hughes because they were going to let loose all this information about how they claimed he was dishonest and how he'd stolen money from the government and all this. And there's just this great scene where Howard Hughes takes himself out of his craziness and gets himself shaved and a haircut and puts on a nice suit, and he comes in and he just destroys the guy from Maine, from Alan Alda. Great scene. The one thing I didn't like about the movie, though, was at the very end when Howard gets into the plane and he tells this guy to get in the co-pilot seat, it's not Dave Grant. They did not do that correctly. It wasn't true. They put the wrong guy in the seat. So that was kind of annoying. Let's see. One more piece of freeware I wanted to talk about, and I'm surprised I haven't ever talked about this before. There's a piece of software called JAlbum from jalbum.net, and it's a really nice little application that makes web albums. So you take a group of photos, and you drag the directory into a window, and then you drag in the or type in the directory you want the photo album to come from, or to end up in, and then it allows you to pick different templates. There's probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 templates, and then different variations within those templates. There's ones that look like they'd be pretty if you were had pictures from a wedding. There's some real nice jet black ones that look very, very technical, highly technical. There's fun ones that look like they're be perfect for a summer picnic or beach party kind of photos. So once you've chosen your template and you've dragged in the directory of where the photos are and given them a directory of where you want the album to go, you can tell it to start making the album, but you can also do a sneak peek so you can see partway in, is it doing what you wanted it to do? And if it's not, you can abort at that point, or you can sit there and wait for the whole thing to come in. You can see previews before you choose before you've actually told it to make the album. You can see previews on all the different options, that the different colors and options you can put in there. The website is really good. They've got tutorials and FAQs and extras and forums. And now that I've gone and looked at it, I think I might go study up a little bit and actually read on all the different things I can do with this tool, because I kind of just use it, whatever the template does, I just go, oh, okay, that's good enough. But what you're really going to like about JAlbum is that it runs on the Mac, Windows, Linux, Solaris, OS 2, HPUX, and basically any Unix platform. The J in JAlbum means Java, so this is actually the promise that Sun had always given us, that said you could write once, run anywhere. And I hate to do an ad for Sun, but it really does stand out as exactly what they were talking about how Java would solve a lot of problems for us. So I'm really, really pleased with that tool, and I'll do a little write-up on my freeware shareware page, too. Well, I've gone about 23 minutes here. One of my goals is to try to get my average to maybe hold still a little bit. I've gone from 7 minutes when I did my iPod Nano review sitting at a hotel in Detroit up to 40 minutes or so when I did my interview with Ron Birch. But my goal is to kind of get at something in the 20-minute range. Seems like 7's a little short, and 40 is probably, I'm not that interesting to listen to for that long. So I think I'm going to cut it off here, and I really appreciate you all listening. And do drop me a line, because I don't get any email at asheridan@podfeet.com. Heck, I'm not even getting spam there yet. So get me some interesting thoughts on whether you like this stuff, whether you thought it was interesting. Did you like the way I added the movie reviewer? Would you rather I just stuck to tech? Tell me what you think of the website. Am I being too vague? Am I not being interesting enough? Or am I being just fascinating? You can send me compliments, anything you like. So thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.